Zaxby's just out-Philly the Philly again. The Zaxby's Chicken Philly is back with garlic aioli, sautéed peppers and onions, decadent melty cheese, and your choice of Zaxby's signature crispy chicken fingers or delicious grilled chicken. But it's only back for a limited time, so enjoy it while you can. No pressure. It's just the greatest sandwich of all time on a ticking clock. Order the Chicken Philly today. Who's got the sauce? Zaxby's.
Hello and welcome to Today in Sports Betting for Thursday, March 16th. I'm your host, Doug Reed, and as always, you can find me on Twitter at Doug_Reed34. That's R-E-I-D. 3-4. March Madness is finally here, and we're going to hit all 16 games today. Going to hit on the NBA and the NHL afterwards as well. But before I get started, this is Sports Ethos presentation. If you haven't already, please check us out at sportsethos.com. I'm part of the Wager Pass group there. You can find that package on our site. You can also get fantasy sports advice, DFS advice. We have a ton of free stuff, podcasts, and every sport, fantasy, wagering, DFS, articles up there as well. It's a great site for information. Bunch of handicappers, fantasy analysts, really exploding at Sports Ethos, and I highly recommend you check us out. My buddy Blake LaWatch, who runs our wagering division, which I'm a part of, he'll be all over Twitter probably in the next few weeks with college basketball. You can follow him at Blake LaWatch on Twitter. It's B-L-A-K-E-L-A-W-A-T-C-H. If you're a basketball fan, and you need to follow my buddy Michael Fiddle on Twitter. He's at mfiddle14, M-F-I-D-D-L-E-1-4. This guy knows his NBA and NFL, but NBA inside and out, and especially from a wagering angle. Not necessarily following, you know, the public trends or the certain teams. He's more of a crunching the numbers, getting closing line value kind of guy. Done a fantastic job. And if you're into golf, as the golf season gets going, you need to follow Adam Kirkhart. His Twitter handle is at Adam Kirk, A-D-A-M-K-E-R-C-K. He's done a great job. Already had a couple huge winners in golf. I'm not really a golf wagerer, so I kind of stay away from it, certainly on this show. But Adam knows his stuff, and he's done a good job to start the season. It looks like he's on a hell of a run and will probably continue for the rest of the year. So lots of things going on from a wagering point of view at Sports Ethos. If you have any questions, just hit me up in DM. Always happy to refer you to my colleagues here and answer any questions you have. But without further ado, it is finally here. Let's get started. The madness begins today at 12:15 in the East. We've got West Virginia and Maryland playing. Coming in as Maryland number 8 and West Virginia a number 9 in the South. I'm on West Virginia here. It's a bit of a couple things. First of all, Big 12. I love the Big 12. I would say I'm mostly because of my location, because of being an Illinois fan, I'm a Big 10 fan, but you'll see my picks pretty soon. I'm more about 10 and I'm on the Big 12 this year. So just from that point of view, I lean towards West Virginia. I also think they're a little better coached, a little more experienced. And I just think Maryland's really struggled on the road this year. I think they only have a couple wins. I think they're, I'm trying to pull it up here. 2-9 in true road games. And those two wins were against Louisville and Minnesota. So kind of the dregs of the Big Ten. Not exactly impressive. 3-2 in neutral site games. Whereas West Virginia's 4-8 on the road, but those wins, some of those wins are against Pitt, Texas Tech, and Iowa State. Much tougher schedule, much tougher league. You can get them at -2.5. So I'm actually on the Mountaineers early today at -2.5. Next game, 12:40 in the East, we have Furman versus Virginia. This is number 13 Furman against number 4 Virginia. This is a bit of a trendy, not crazy trendy, but a lot of the experts are calling. Furman can score. Likes to play fast. And as we know, Virginia is the exact opposite, one of the slowest teams in the country, always have been. The trend with Furman, though, 14-1 in their last 15 games, but they have the 271st toughest schedule. So compare that to Virginia, who has the 80th toughest schedule, plays in the ACC. Sure, the ACC was down. They've got the experience. They've got the coaching. Are they going to cover the 5.5? That's the question. The thing with Virginia, if you've watched them over the last few years, and it's held true this year as well, if they get down, they play slow. They play great half-court basketball, kind of old-school basketball. But if they get down a few, they're often challenged to close that gap. Spread here is 5.5 for Virginia, total 131.5. I actually took the money line. I got it earlier at minus 240. I see it about minus 240, minus 245, minus 250. So shop around. A little more conservative play. I don't usually traditionally take money lines. I'm just not sure I want to lay those points. I think Virginia wins. I can see them winning easy. But Virginia tends not to blow teams out, especially in the tournament. So I'm on Tony Bennett. I'm on the Cavaliers, but on the money line. A little more conservative play here. 140 in the East. We have Utah State at Missouri. Now, this is an odd game, an odd line here. Utah State is a 10 seed, and Missouri is a 7 seed, but Utah State's actually favored by 1.5. Now, when you do the NCAA builds their bracket, they don't just rank teams 1 to 64 and match them up in that order. What they do is they put the higher-ranked seeds, especially the ones and twos closer to home, the lower-ranked seeds, don't get home court advantage. They don't want teams in the same conference playing each other in the second or third round, ideally. So they tend to spread teams around in the middle of the lower part of the middle part of the brackets. And this is what you're seeing here. It's two very evenly ranked teams, in my opinion. But the lean here is clearly towards Utah State. Now, when you look at their numbers, they've won 7 straight in 12 of the last 15 games in the Mountain West before they lost to San Diego in the tournament final. Missouri's fairly hot as well. They've won 5 straight and 10 of 13 before losing to Bama in the semifinals, the SEC. But I think the biggest difference is Utah is number 64 in adjusted defensive efficiency at KenPom. So inside basically the top 18, called inside the top 20% of the country, and Mizzou is 179 in that. So basically average. And, you know, I think Utah State's defense is not quite elite, but definitely better. And Mizzou struggles rebounding the ball defensively. They rank number 362, second worst team in the country on defensive rebounding. While Utah is not great in the offensive boards, they're 219, so below average. When you've got a Missouri team that really, really struggles defensively rebounding the ball, so a few second chance points there for Utah. Utah State's different defense is better, I believe. So I'm on the Aggies here, -1.5 as the underdog, but taking them. Next game. Howard in Kansas, 16 seed Howard versus number 1 Kansas at 2 p.m. in the East. This game, Kansas -22.5 point favorite, 146.5 in the total. And hard not to take Kansas. I mean, it's impossible not to take Kansas here. I think they win. I think they just heard that Bill Self will not be coaching. So their head coach had a heart attack recently. Big question for the tournament. I think he's with the team, but he's not coaching today. So I think they're hoping. I mean, obviously you hope for his health and safety are the priority. But from a pure basketball point of view, maybe if he misses the first weekend, if they can skate through that, although their next matchup could be tough, is he back for the following weekend? Regardless, they look good in the last game without him, and I think they will be able to roll for a few rounds just on skill and talent and systems alone. -22.5 is a little too big. I was debating playing this, but I decided to pivot and take the Howard total points under 61.5. I got that at about -104 last night on the score. So I just don't think Howard's going to be able to score. You know, Kansas could put up 100 here for all you know and win by 30 or 40. I just think they could also take their foot off the gas and let Howard get a backdoor cover. So I'm on the Howard points under 61.5. Sorry. Yeah. 61.5 is total points for Howard under. Next game, 245 in the East, another 16 versus 1. You've got number 16, Texas A&M Corpus Christi, who won the play-in game, and they're facing the number 1 seed in the country, Alabama. 23.5 point favorite is Alabama. Total here, 154.5. Again, much like the Kansas game, I think Alabama can blow these guys out. They've had some games down the stretch where they've stumbled to score, and while they've won, the games have been a little closer than expected. And I don't necessarily see that happening against Corpus Christi. But again, do they take the foot off the gas? Is Corpus Christi playing to the very end? Because these, you know, this is the national spotlight, and the only time some of these kids will be in the national, most of these kids will be in the national spotlight. So I'm not on the number, but I'm actually on the total, and I'm on the under. I got it at 155.5. I think you said 154 last night. It was on 155.5. I see the FanDuel up 154.5, -105 right now. I would still be on that number. I just think Alabama's D can shut them down. They've got such elite D, and is A&M Corpus Christi going to be able to keep up with them? No. I actually, you know, maybe even a first half under. I was debating that. I think the number there is probably around mid-70s. But you never know in a tournament game. Do they come out? I think they probably come out with some jitters, so it might be a good play. But I think in general, Alabama slows the game down, smothers them with defense, and is able to hit the under on. As I said, I got 155.5. Next game, which is a bit of a trendy upset that I'm not on again. 310 in the East. We've got Charleston at San Diego. Charleston is a number 12. San Diego State is a number 5 seed. San Diego State comes in 5.5-point favorites. Total here, 141.5. And in the South region here, San Diego State has won 5 straight. But the big thing with Charleston, sorry, back up, is they had a 10-game winning streak, and they're 31-3 overall. So everybody's saying, you know, look at that record. They've been fantastic. Sure, they haven't played great competition, but they've been beating everybody. Fair enough. But San Diego State comes in. They've won 5 straight, 27-6 on the season. So not really all that far in a way, way tougher conference. The Cougars of Charleston have played the 306th top-ranked schedule. So 363 teams. They played the 306th toughest schedule, so not very far, not very hard at all. Versus San Diego State played the 43rd toughest schedule. When I dug a little deeper, Charleston's played 4 teams inside the top 128. So obviously a random number, but there was, I think they played one team that was 128. So below 128, they played 4 teams. They were 2-2 in those games. Against teams inside, San Diego State, on the flip side, has played 20 games against teams in the top 100 of the country. 20 games. They're 14-6. So let me repeat that. Charleston's played 4 games against teams inside the top 128. They're 2-2. San Diego State has played 20 games against the top 100 teams, and they're 14-6. They're just, I mean, I just don't think this is going to be a close game. Sure, Charleston's done well, but gains very weak competition. San Diego State has the 10th, again, much harder schedule, the 10th ranked defense and defensive adjusted efficiency at KenPom. Charleston, against some weak competition, has the 73rd. On offense, Charleston's 71st in adjusted efficiency, so a good number. Again, though, weak offense, weak teams have been playing. San Diego State is 67th, so we've ranked even higher on offense against a much tougher schedule. 5.5 points, I think, is a fair number. Sorry, I actually got it -5 yesterday. It's at -5. I see it in FanDuel, -104 juice. So shop around a little for that. I would still take it up to 5.5. I think San Diego State wins this. The next game, which is one of the early games I am just not on, 410 in the East. You get Princeton at Arizona. And just trying to pull everything up here as we go. Princeton comes in as a number 2 seed, 15 seed, sorry, Arizona number 2 seed. Arizona 14.5-point favorite, total 153.5. I think Princeton has ability to keep this close, but I think Arizona wins by double digits, so I'm just not really comfortable laying that big a number. It's a stay away from me. And 153.5, I think both teams can score, and I could see if this game is close, Arizona keeps running, keeps pushing the pace. So not, if anything, I would look towards the under. Okay, early conference games, unders tend to be a little bit better bet. Maybe first half under, but I would look towards the under 153.5, but I'm not on this. At 4:30 in the East, we have Illinois and Arkansas, the first 8-9 matchup of the day. This should be a great game. Arkansas is favored by 1.5, and the total here, 143.5. And as I said earlier, I'm kind of fading the Big Ten, and Arkansas is in the SEC, so solid conference. I think actually the Big Ten was ranked at KenPom higher than the SEC. I just think the top half of the SEC is much stronger than the top half of the Big Ten, which Big Ten actually has 14 teams. But regardless, they have some dregs at the bottom and some pretty mediocre teams throughout the middle. So I like Arkansas. I think this game is a coin flip, 1.5-point spread. Obviously, it is a coin flip. And I just like Eric Musselman as their coach, being able to get the team up. Which he has done traditionally with every team he's coached. These teams look like they kind of both come in fairly cold. The Illini have lost 3 of the last 5 and 6 of their last 10. Well, Arizona's lost 4 of their last 5 and 6 of their last 9. But Arizona's played a little stronger competition down the stretch, playing the top-ranked teams in the SEC, whereas the Illini are playing, I said, the Big Ten. So I'm on Arkansas -1.5. And we're going to take a quick break. And what we get after those 8 games, when we get back, we will hit the next 8 games.
At Planet Fitness, we're declaring it. This is the year of getting stronger. And you can get started now by saving when you join today. We have all the best-in-class equipment you could ever need, and you can work out your way on your time at any convenient location near you. Most open 24 hours. So let's do this. Join Planet Fitness today and save. Just $1 down, $15 a month. See Home Club for details.
And for the second half of today's bracket, especially the NCAA takes a kind of a pause almost around the 5 p.m. Eastern time. So you've got, well, a little after that, you've got Princeton, Arizona tipping at 4:10. You've got Illinois, Arkansas at 5:30. Then there's a bit of a break usually called around dinner time in the East. 6:50 is the next game in the East. And you've got Auburn at Iowa. And I think this would be a fantastic game too in the Midwest. Auburn comes in as the 9 seed, Iowa as the 8 seed, and Auburn 1.5-point favorite. And I'm going to be on Auburn here. Again, SEC versus Big Ten, fading Iowa and taking Auburn. I heard the other day, I don't think Auburn has lost a first-round game in the tournament ever. I'm not sure how many games that is, but I heard that interesting stat. Not really anything I would factor into my handicapping. This game is playing in Birmingham, Alabama, so fairly close for Auburn, which is a bit of an advantage, although Iowa fans are going to travel well, I think. So 1.5, minus 1.5 for Auburn, total 151.5. I might look to this under. Iowa can score, but they score a lot better when at home. And when I look at some of the stats, yeah, their offense is number 3, Iowa's offense and defense in adjusted efficiency. But their defense is 166. Auburn's offense, 48. So still strong, not quite as strong. But their defense is very strong at number 28 in the country. And I just think that they have, little deeper team, little better team, and fading the Big Ten. So I'm going to be an Auburn minus 1.5 here. Next game, which is probably, if not one of the trendiest, close to the trendiest upset, and I'm not buying it. 7:10 in the East, Duke is playing against Oral Roberts. And this game is in the East region. Duke comes in as number 5 seed, Oral Roberts at number 12. Minus 6.5 here for Duke. It's a little big number, but I think I'm going to be on it. Total here, 145.5. And I know the Oral Roberts story. They can certainly play. They can certainly run, and they can score. They are the 38th fastest team in the country. So like to run. Duke is the 289th fastest team. That doesn't mean they don't like to run, because I think John Shire, what he's done, took over from Coach K, a great situation. They struggled a little out of the gates. The ACC was down, so everybody's been dumping on them. But Duke has played fantastic down the stretch, and I think that continues. They won the ACC tournament, so they won 3 straight games, beat Virginia 59-49 in the finals, beat Miami 85-78 in the semis, and then their first game they thumped Pittsburgh 96-69. Prior to that, they had won 6 games as well, so won 9 straight. Prior to that, lost at Miami, lost Virginia, so no shame in those games, and then won 3 before that. So they've won 12 of their last 14, and I think they're rolling at the perfect time. Typical kind of Duke. So I've actually got them going a few rounds in most brackets that I have. And I'm going to be on Duke here. If I can get a minus 6, which it was yesterday, it's ticked up a little. I'd definitely be on the minus 6 for the Dukies. I think they beat Oral Roberts. I know it's a great story, but pulling up the strength schedule, which I like to look at when you're comparing teams. Teams that haven't played each other, conferences that are not really comparable. Oral Roberts has a 263rd toughest schedule on KenPom, whereas Duke has a 67th. Obviously, the ACC is substantially better. And Oral Roberts is brutal at offensive rebounding, 305th in the country, whereas Duke's the 67th best team defensive rebounding. Other end of the court, Duke is the 8th best team in offensive rebounding, and Oral Roberts is 135th. So think about that. Those numbers are far better for Duke in a far tougher conference. So they're going to be able to get the ball on the board at both ends and lead to more second chance points and negate second chance points for Oral Roberts. I think Duke wins. I think they win this maybe by double digits. So I'm going to be on the Dukies minus 6, minus 6.5. The next game has, 7:25 in the East. We've got Colgate playing Texas. And just trying to pull it up here. There we go. Number 15, Colgate against number 2, Texas. Spread 13.5 here, minus 13.5 for Texas, 149.5. I'm not really sure I'm going to be on this game. I like Texas. I like them a lot. I like them to win this. I don't know if I want to lay 13.5 points with them. And Colgate can score. So I'm going to be watching this. Not really sure I'm going to be on it. Probably a fade for me. If anything, I don't know. I was going to say, if anything, take Colgate to cover those 13.5 points. But I think Texas is one of the best teams in the country. So even without Chris Beard at the helm, they've been playing really well lately. 735 in the East is one of my upsets that I like. And I don't think it's a crazy upset, but number seven, this is in the West region. Number seven, Northwestern comes in 0.5 favorite over Boise State. And I like Boise here. Total here is 128. So a low scoring game to be expected. And when I pull up their numbers, just trying to find it here on the grid. So Boise, obviously out of the Mountain West, they played a fairly tough schedule, 62nd toughest schedule in the country. And Northwestern out of the Big Ten, yes, that Big Ten that I'm fading, they played the 41st toughest schedule. So fairly, pretty much a wash. Northwestern has lost lost in the first round of the tournament. Well, the first round they played to Penn State, have lost four of the last five, though. Lost at Illinois, at Maryland, at home to Penn State. They won at Rutgers, which is traditionally an impressive win, but Rutgers has not played well at home, and they lost out in the NITs in their first game at the rack. And they lost again to Penn State on a neutral site. So kind of coming in limping. Boise State, on the other hand, comes in. They did lose to Utah State in the finals of the Mountain West and lost to Utah State in the last game of the tournament, which is no shame. To go through them, lost to Utah State, beat UNLV in the first round, last game of the season, lost to Utah State, beat San Diego State at home, which is impressive, lost the game before that at San Diego State in overtime, at San Jose State in overtime, and then had won seven of their last eight in the Mountain West. I just think they're a bit better team. I think the Mountain West is a conference that's being slept on a little. I know they had a terrible showing last year. They got a couple of poor seeds in the tournament, or tough seeds, including Boise State. Got a tough draw last year. I think they're the better team. I think Northwestern's reeling a little. And Big Ten Conference being overrated. So I'm actually on Boise catching 1.5 here. If I could get it at 2, which I think it was earlier, I'm going to shop around a little, try and get it at 2. But I'm on Boise State to pull the upset here. 920 in the East. We have the number one ranked Houston Cougars against Northern Kentucky. This is a tough draw for Northern Kentucky out of the horizon. Minus 18.5 for Houston. Total here, 121.5. If anything, I'm probably not on this game, but if anything, I would lean towards Northern Kentucky covering. Marcus Sasser is going to be out for probably out. They say it's like a 90-95% chance. Their best player is going to be out for Houston. And why play him? Rest him here. Maybe even rest them on Saturday. They'll play the winner of Iowa-Auburn, which could be a tougher game. But if anything, keep him on the bench. And if it is a close game, get him in there. But they need him if they're going to make a run, and they're expected to make a deep run. So they need Marcus Sasser healthy. They're not going to need him today. They have the fourth best defense in adjusted efficiency at KenPom, the 11th best offense. So they should be able to roll on Northern Kentucky. Northern Kentucky's a decent three-point shooting team, but Houston is the second best team defending the three ball in the country. So I don't think this game is close, but I think Houston without Sasser gets up. They play a slow game, so total 121.5. Obviously, a slow game is close game is expected. When I just pull up their pace, just to give you a comparison, Northern Kentucky is 358th in pace, so they play slow as well. Houston, 345th in pace, so I might even look towards the under. 121.5 is a small number, but you know, gambling theory, traditionally, if you have a game with a big spread, Houston's favored by 18.5, probably not going to run up the score a lot of points. And yeah, they're not going to go out and win by 60. I don't think they're going to go out and win by 60. So traditionally a lower scoring total with that. They get up early, they coast. Both teams play slow. You know, I could see this being a, you know, Houston wins 70-40 kind of game, or a 65-45 kind of game. A really low scoring slog, but Houston wins easy. Don't have to play Marcus Sasser. And I'm probably looking to maybe Northern Kentucky to cover, lose big, but cover, and maybe the under 121.5, but that's a pretty small number. The next game has Louisiana facing Tennessee. I'm just trying to pull this up. And this is in the East region. Louisiana comes in as the 13 seed, Tennessee the 4. This isn't what I would call a trendy pick, but a lot of people love picking the 13s over 4s, the 12s over 5. I heard a stat in a show the other day, and I apologize for not having the accurate, but it was either a 13 seed or a 12 seed, one of them. Again, it was either the 13 seeds have won at least once in every one of the last, I think, seven or eight tournaments, or the 12 seed, something like that. And that's a fun stat. And when you're building your bracket, people love jumping on those. And if you listen to my bracket show yesterday about bracket theory, it sure is fun to pick those. But, you know, one of four, there's four games that are 4 versus 13 in the tournament. One of those have won, even if it's each in the last 7 or 8 years, you still have to pick the right one. And if you're jumping on all these upsets, sure, you might hit it, but there's, you know, a 75% chance at least that you're going to miss it. And you got to pick the right one. So it's even greater than 75% chance. Anyways, God, I shouldn't have went off on a tangent there. I am on Tennessee here. Tennessee is favored by 10.5, total 135.5. So obviously another low scoring game expected. And I'm actually leaning toward, I haven't taken it yet, but I might grab Tennessee at minus 10.5. They don't play fast. They're 278th in the nation versus Louisiana, who is coming out of the Sun Belt. They're 130th, so a little faster than average, but I don't think that's really going to matter. Louisiana has some impressive offensive metrics, but their strength of schedule, they played the 157th toughest schedule. So, again, a little bit above average, but Tennessee coming out of the SEC played the 38th toughest schedule, so a lot harder. Everybody loves dumping on Rick Barnes, and I've done it before too in the tournament. I don't think Tennessee's going far in this tournament, but I think they're getting by Louisiana. I think they're getting by them fairly easily. 135.5 total. Going to be a low-scoring game. Again, can Tennessee, who doesn't traditionally, you know, if they're not shooting well, they're shooting well for them, they still don't shoot all that well. So if they struggle a little, it could be tough to cover that number, but I would lean towards Tennessee. Second last game of the night, which I think will be a very good game, has Penn State playing Texas A&M. And just trying to pull up where these guys are again. And we've got drawing the blank here on these guys. There we go. Texas A&M in the Midwest. So we've got Texas A&M a number 7 seed, Penn State a number 10 seed. A&M comes in 2.5-point favorites, 134.5, and I'm pretty sure I will be on A&M here, laying the 2.5 points. Can shop around a little, see if I can get a 2, but it's probably going to be stuck at that. Penn State coming out of the Big Ten has had a good run, obviously playing well down the stretch, which I think a lot of people are buying into. Although lost to Purdue in the Big Ten final, but prior to that had beaten in the Big Ten tournament, upset Illinois, upset Northwestern, upset Indiana. So 3 straight. Prior to that, beat Northwestern on the road, beat Maryland at home. So coming into the Big Ten tournament, they had won 5 of their last 6, and they won 3 straight, and they're playing, and then lost to Purdue by 2 points. So they're playing much better for sure. But I really like Texas A&M with Buzz Williams. I think this team could go far. If you are listening to my bracket show yesterday, if you're in a big pool, so 150 and above, up to these massive 10,000 kind of tournament pools where with a bunch of entries, A&M's the kind of team you take, I think, as an upset flyer. Sure, they're a 7 seed. I don't think they're going to win at all, but I could see them getting to the Elite Eight, Final Four, maybe even the finals. Again, if you want to take a crazy flyer, I think they're that good. The challenge with them is always their scoring. Their defense is elite. They're ranked 38th in defensive efficiency. They're actually ranked 30th in scoring. So good numbers, but I don't know that either of those are elite numbers to win at all. I do like them at Penn State, though. Penn State's actually ranked 17th best in adjusted efficiency in offense, but 99th in defense. And where the difference could be, and when I look at this game, is on offensive rebounding. Oddly, Penn State is the 362nd, so second worst team in offensive rebounding in the country. And that poses a problem because on the flip side of that, you've got Texas A&M on the defensive boards are 272nd. So not great on the defensive boards, but definitely a little bit better. And on the other end of the court, Texas is the 6th best team in offensive rebounding. So you got one team that's terrible, like terrible at it, second worst in the country. You've got one team that's the 6th best team in the country. So I think Penn State's going to struggle to get second chance points. A&M's going to be able to get second chance points. So that leads me in what basically a tight game with a tight spread, leads me to A&M. I think better team, better conference. And if I need to, you know, dig deep and find one stat that I really like, it's that offensive rebound. I look at that a lot. And I think they have the ability to gain a few more points through that and be able to cover this, what they say, 2.5 point spread. So I definitely like, I'm going to be on A&M here to cover this. Last game of the night is 10:05 in the East, and we have the number 2 ranked UCLA Bruins in the West versus UNC Asheville. Tough draw for UNC Asheville. I was kind of hoping they were going to get a little higher draw and maybe pick them as an upset, but it ain't going to happen here. UCLA 17.5-point favorite. 135.5 is the total. If anything, I would maybe lean towards, I think I've been burnt by this a few times in a tournament, but not going with the big spreads with UCLA early. I would maybe lean towards Asheville covering this spread. Now, the challenge is coming out of the Big South, they've got the, the sixth longest win streak in the country. They won 9 straight. And they've actually won 18 of their last 19. However, their schedule ranks 294th overall. So impressive numbers, but not exactly beating the best competition. UCLA, on the other hand, is the 32nd hardest schedule. And while they lost to Arizona in the finals of the Pac-12, prior to that, they had won, 12 games as well. So they're 12-1 in their last 13. They are rolling. They are down one of their best players, though, in Jalen Clark. I think he's out for the tournament, and that is why I am fading them long term of the tournament. I think they win tonight, and I think they win easy. Question is, do they take the foot off the gas and let Asheville get a backdoor cover? So probably not going to be on this game. Just don't like that big a spread. But I'm on UCLA to win for sure. So that's the breakdown of the first day of March Madness, which should be a fantastic day. We're going to quickly move to the NBA, in which there are 5 games tonight. I guess they didn't quite get the memo that the bracket NCAA starts tonight. You might want to have a little quieter slate. Regardless, we go to 7:10 in the East, and we have the Denver Nuggets, who are traveling from Toronto to play the Pistons. Nuggets come in 14.5-point favorite. 228.5 is the total. When I look at the injury list, Jamal Murray is probable, which is a good sign for them. Detroit have all their guys out. Bagley obviously is out. Cunningham's out for the year. Jaden Ivey's probable. Isaiah Stewart is out. 14.5 points. I can't lay it. If anything, I'd be on the Pistons. They are bad. And if Murray plays, Nuggets are healthy. But that's just a few too many points to lay at home. Detroit can be wildly inconsistent, as you know if you've listened to my show over the last couple of years. But 14.5 points is a few too many. Next game, 7:40 in the East. Oklahoma City travels to Toronto to play the Raptors. The Raptors, 6.5-point favorites. Total here is 231 on the injury list for pretty much status quo for OKC. The big guys, Holmgren and Pokuševski, are obviously out. And for the Raptors, only Delano Banton really is out. Other than that, fully healthy. So I like the Raps to win. Maybe I might look at them -250 money line. But if anything, I would lean OKC at +6.5. I mean, they're playing well. They're young team. I like the way they're playing. I like their future, the way they're set up. And the Raptors don't tend to blow teams out. The Raptors are playing well lately. Big win over Denver the other day. But I think they kind of maybe overlook OKC, and this is a game. OKC tends to play well in Toronto and keep games close. So if anything, I'd lean to +6.5, but not going to be on it. Next game is in New York, where the Brooklyn Nets host the Sacramento Kings, and that's their 2-point favorites. Total here, 238 on the injury list. Again, fairly early in the day. Nothing for Sacramento listed. Ben Simmons is out for the Nets. I would lean Kings on the road. I would actually probably lean to the Nets here, laying the 2 points. Decent team. I know they've traded off all their big parts, so these guys are playing for the future. But they seem to be playing not well, but competitive. And Sacramento on the road, great story. Going to be fun to see what they do in the playoffs. And I just think the Nets at home should be a favorite. -2, little close. Probably not going to be on that game either. 8:10 in the East, we have Milwaukee Bucks hosting the Indiana Pacers. Bucks are 13.5-point favorites. 238 is the total. When I look at the injury list here, Halliburton is questionable. Buddy Hield is questionable. Mathurin, Duarte remain out. TJ McConnell, questionable. Miles Turner, questionable. Then on the Bucks side, Grayson Allen is out. And that Lopez out. Jay Crowder is probable. So that's a good sign. 13.5 is a lot to lay. I actually like the Pacers. I like them a lot more at home. But if Halliburton's out, I definitely don't like them. And Milwaukee can blow teams out the way they've been playing. So if anything, I would probably lean the Pacers at the 13.5, but stay away from me. Definitely need to see if Halliburton's playing. If he's playing, I would be on the Pacers at plus 13.5. Last game of the night out West, Phoenix Suns at 10-10 in the East host the Orlando Magic. The Suns come in 8-point favorites. 228 is the total for Orlando. Gary Harris questionable. For the Suns, KD is out. Landry Shamet out. And Torrey Craig and Josh Okogie are probable and available. If anything, I would lean towards the Suns. Just 8 points. Orlando's playing a lot better. Kind of nothing to lose this late in the year. Playing a little more freewheeling. So if anything, I would I like Phoenix to win. I just don't think 8 points is a few too many. So I'm not really sure I can get there on that. So that's it for the hard court. And we head to the ice. And clearly the NHL didn't know about college basketball starting. They've got 11 games. I'm going to riff through these quickly. Colorado travels to Ottawa. They were in Toronto yesterday and pulled out the big overtime win. You can get the Road Avs, minus 135 favorite. The home stands 122. Total here is 6.5. Colorado played a low-scoring game today. I don't think that's the case today. The 6.5 is juiced to minus 120. That's where I would look. I would also I would look to the Avs, but in back-to-back on the road. You know, it's not the NBA where that's a huge factor, but it's definitely a factor. So stay away there. Montreal travels to Florida to play the Panthers. You can get the home Panthers minus 365, the road Habs plus 285. Total here is 6.5. I like the Panthers, but not laying 365. Pittsburgh travels to New York for a great battle in the East. You can get the home Rangers at minus 146, the road Pens plus 122. Total here is 6.5. I would look to the under. It's at minus 110. Shesterkin will probably be in net for the Rangers. Both teams can obviously score, but both teams can play defense, and this will be, I think, a tight game. Another tight game. Tampa Bay heads up to Jersey to play the Devils. You can get the home Devils minus 137, the road Lightning plus 144. Total here is 6.5, juiced on both sides at minus 110. I would lean the under here as well. I think both teams can play well defensively. Tampa's kind of coasting into the playoffs and ready to turn on any day now. So don't want to bet against them, even though they're getting plus 114 on the road. New Jersey is a hell of a team. So if anything, I would maybe lean towards Tampa getting the plus money, but I would look at the other 6.5. The Bruins are on the road in Winnipeg, 805 in the East. You can get the road Bruins minus 152, the home Jets at plus 126. Total here is 6.5. Juice to the under at minus 132. The Bruins coming off a big upset against Chicago. Are they reeling? No, absolutely not. They're the Bruins. They're rolling through this year. Lane 152 on the road. I just can't do that, though. So not really on that one. Next game, the upstart Blackhawks. The upstart Blackhawks will beat the Bruins on the road in Nashville to play the Preds. Preds are minus 260 in the money line. Road Blackhawks plus 210. Total here is 5.5. Juiced to the over minus 134. You can get the under plus 110. I will look to the over 5.5, the way Chicago's playing offensively, and they're letting a lot of pucks in the net. But at minus 134, can't touch that. 210, there's probably some value in getting them plus 210 on the money line. Coming off the big win against Boston, you know, they got a little more swagger, a little more confidence, playing free and easy since they traded off all their parts and they're looking towards next year. Might look at that. 9-5 in the East. The Stars travel to Edmonton to play the Oilers. The Oilers are minus 137 on the money line. Dallas plus 114. I like the Oilers here. Total here is 6.5. You get that at minus 132. The over, under is plus 108. If anything, maybe to the under at the plus money. Probably going to stay away. Edmonton can explode against anybody, but Dallas is a decent team defensively. Question is, on the road, are they as strong? So I'd probably lean towards the Oilers' money line. Calgary is in Vegas to play the Golden Knights. You can get the home Knights at minus 115 as the favorites and the road Flames at minus 105. So very close game here. Total here is 6.5. Juice to the under at minus 114. I would probably lean to the under. I think this would be a tight game. I think it would be a tight defensive game. And probably lean to the home Knights just because they're at home and minus 115 is a decent price. Third last game, Arizona hosts the Vancouver Canucks at 10:05 in the East. The Coyotes plus 125 on the money line. The road Canucks minus 150. Total here is 6.5, minus 110 on each side of that. Sure, there's value at plus 125 on the home team, but it's the Coyotes. Vancouver is a better team, but not that good after all their trades as well. And, you know, I'm not laying 150 on the road. So there might be some value at 125 at home on the Coyotes. The LA Kings host the Columbus Blue Jackets, 10:35 in East. The home Kings minus 285 on the money line. CBJ plus 230. Total here 6.5, minus 122 to the over, plus 100 to the under. I like the home Kings. I like them a lot. Not at 285. Maybe lay the puck line, which is minus 1.5. That's at 115. So if you think they're going to win by two goals or more, you know, 6.5 goals are the total. And minus 122, you know, that's the favorite option for the over. So a lot of goals are going to be scored. The Kings are probably going to score more of them. Maybe look to the puck line there at minus 1.5. Last game of the night is in San Jose at 10:35 in the East, where the Sharks host the Seattle Kraken. You can get the road Kraken at minus 170 as a favorite. The home Sharks at plus 140. Total here is 164. 164. Sorry. Total here is 6.5. I don't know where I got 164 from. Total here is 6.5. Juice to the over, though, minus 124. You can get the under at plus 102. If anything, I might look towards the under. You know, Seattle can play well. It's a good defensive team. They're the favorite here, substantial favorite at minus 170. And, you know, keeping a low-scoring game, although the Sharks' defense has been pretty weak, so they might be able to score a few goals. But they basically need to get to 7 goals. So if this game can stay under 7, I think it probably can. I think the Kraken win. So I would lean towards that. Oh, first day of March Madness is here. Hopefully you enjoyed the show. Hopefully you got some angles, some picks. We'll be back tomorrow with the next 16 games. Before I go, I do want to remind you of our buddies at Manscaped. If you haven't already, check out manscaped.com and use the code HOOP, the coupon code HOOPBALL20, HOOPBALL20, for 20% off your order and free shipping. Great products, great people over there. Highly recommend you check them out. And if you haven't already, again, follow me on Twitter, Doug_Reed34, and check out sportsethos.com. And hopefully enjoy the beginning of March Madness. Hopefully I've given you some angles, some thoughts, some picks. And in the NBA and the NHL as well. Let's make some money, and we will catch you tomorrow for the second half of the first round of March Madness. Have a great day. Enjoy the show. Enjoy sitting around and watching some ball.
At Planet Fitness, we're declaring it. This is the year of getting stronger, and you can get started now by saving when you join today. We have all the best-in-class equipment you could ever need, and you can work out your way on your time at any convenient location near you, most open 24 hours. So let's do this. Join Planet Fitness today and save. Just $1 down, $15 a month. See Home Club for details.